What an unbelievable basketball game. Jalen Suggs, you are welcome in Chicago. We would like to have you run the point for the Chicago Bulls and hit clutch shots. Wow, that was impressive. And really, if you watched UCLA Gonzaga last night, that was just an absolutely phenomenal basketball game. Back and forth, huge shots being hit on both sides. And, of course, Gonzaga moving on to play Baylor on Monday night. It's perfect time to bring in an interview I did with Adam Morrison, who, of course, became a star at Gonzaga when Gonzaga was not quite the Gonzaga they are now. And Adam was widely considered at the time the quote-unquote next Larry Bird. He was drafted number 3 overall by the Charlotte Bobcats and Michael Jordan at the time coming out. And it did not work out in the NBA, although he was a second-team all-rookie. So it actually started out okay, and then he got hurt, and then it really went awry. And people think that Morrison is just this enormous bust, whereas he's the color commentator for Gonzaga. He made a bunch of money in the league. He was a star in college. I'd sign up for that life 10,000 times over. So I don't think that Adam Morrison should be looked upon as this guy who – quote-unquote, didn't make it. He made it farther than 99.9% of us. So, there maybe could have been more in the league for him, but that's the way it went. So let's get to him. Our guy here, Adam Morrison, really interesting stuff. He played with the Lakers, so he's got stories on Kobe. He got drafted by Jordan. He's got stories on Mike. He's got thoughts on Gonzaga. He's got thoughts on his journey. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Adam Morrison, right now, ahead of the national championship game on the Windy City Podcast.
Showtime.
Adam, floater in the lane.
Game, but he's had a couple of impressive buckets. Morrison high into the air for 3. How about that?
So can they run the table?
I really think they can, honestly, without trying to be a homer. We're fantastic. Scoring the basketball, number 1 in the nation, 92 points a game, 18 assists a game, which is 3rd in the country. We shoot 55% from the field. I think we have a legitimate chance. The only thing that I get worried about is front court depth. Drew Timmy's the main scorer inside, All-American this year. But other than that, we're kind of only 7-man deep. They are playing a really good brand of basketball this year. So hopefully they can run the table.
Can you explain to me what Mark Few does so well that Gonzaga, this tiny school, has become a national power? And it dates back to, I guess you took the program to a whole nother level, but it's been consistent. And you would think that it wouldn't be that way, but it has been.
I think probably about 10 years ago. So I was 06. So probably, 2010 is kind of when they turned the corner as far as making deeper NCAA runs, being more consistent. Coach Few, I think, started doing the USA basketball stuff then. And I think being around Greg Popovich, Krzyzewski, guys of that nature who've been around more pros and have been around more one-and-done type of kids, I think Few finally learned how to talk to those kids. You know what I'm saying? And recruit those type of kids. So he really evolved himself as a coach. And then their style of play is different. I mean, all the basketball heads, when I was playing, we ran flex. Okay. That's how dated we used to be. Now they're 4-out, 5-out, late ball screen with a read and all that stuff, all the pro stuff that people do that space the floor. That's what they run now. That's why they're so successful. And I think when he finally opened the door in his own mind, coaching wise, that's helped the program elevate and it helped them get better players. And now we're a consistent national power for sure.
So I think what you're teeing up here, Adam, is that college coaches would benefit from evolving with the times, like the way you did it back in the day ain't the way you should be doing it today most of the time, I guess.
Yeah, I think – I watch a lot of games. Obviously, I call them for Gonzaga. So, I'm at 35 games a year, obviously not this year with COVID. But I see a lot of bad basketball, to be honest. And that's not a knock. Not saying I could do it better. And I understand personnel has a lot to do with what you run. But if you watch Gonzaga now, like I said, it's space the floor. It's whoever gets the rebound can bring the ball up. It's positionless, just like the NBA.
Right.
Just like Europe has done, and now it's morphed to the NBA. Now it's trickling down to college, and eventually it'll trickle down to the high school ranks, I think. But I think Fuey did a fantastic job of allowing himself to change and listening to his assistants, Tommy Lloyd, and bringing in a new style, which would bring in better players, which means more success. So, you know, I wish we ran the system that we run now when I was playing. It'd be a lot easier. I was coming off six down screens and running all over the place. Now they just space the floor and let guys make reads. And that's a pro style. That's why you see a Jalen Suggs come. You know, we've had pros in the past, Rui Hachimura, Brandon Clark, Zach Collins. I mean, these guys would have never come to Gonzaga 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You know, so a lot of it has to do with the style that we play.
You can't redo it, obviously, but if you played, if you were coming into the NBA today, do you think you'd be more successful the way the game's being played now?
I'd like to think so, yeah. I mean, just with the space the floor and the ability to kind of shoot with an ultimate green light. Yeah, I mean, it's the shoulda, coulda, woulda is always I get a little nervous saying that too because, you know, I don't want to take away from what guys have done or what I didn't do or did do and things of that nature. But yeah, I think the style would be much better. I mean, when I played, if you weren't like Michael Cooper defensively, they threw, you know, they weren't too happy with you. So I think now is a better style. It's going to be fantastic for guys like Corey Kispert on our team. You know, you see Joe Harris, who's fantastic. You see Tyler Hero, the other kid, Duncan kid from Miami. Robinson, as well.
Yeah.
Those guys probably didn't survive, right, that much. Now they're more prevalent. So I think today's game benefits guys who can knock down shots, obviously, and then with the floor space where you make teams make decisions on rotations and things of that nature.
Do you watch the league? Do you enjoy the style that's being played right now?
I think it's great. I mean, you know, my dad's an ex-college basketball coach. He can't stand it, you know, because there's no defense and stuff. I think it's great. It's more skilled. Guys are in such better shape to be able to run around like they do and knock down shots. What's wild to me is the length that guys can shoot consistently from now. You know, you see the Steph Currys and Damian Lillard and, that's going to be a 40% shot here in the next 5 years for a lot of players, especially younger kids who are going to teach themselves how to make those type of shots on the basketball floor consistently. It's kind of like, and I hate to use the other sport, but like you see quarterbacks are much better now in the NFL because they go to camps now at 14. It's the same thing with basketball. These kids are seeing, oh, Steph Curry's 6'3" or whatever, and he just worked his tail off and shot consistently, nonstop. Now everybody's going to do that. It's going to change the game, and it already started. And so I think the style of play now is it's fun to watch, high scoring.
I'm guessing you were a gym rat growing up, but did you play other things too?
No, my only experience playing another sport was football, and I was the backup quarterback in eighth grade, and this is honest to God truth. I've told this story before. In the last game of the season, I turned the wrong way on a handoff and threw an interception for a touchdown, my only throw of my career.
Ouch.
Yeah. So I didn't play any other sports. It wasn't very good.
Yeah. All right. I love hoop. Let me just underline that. And I appreciate the skill that the step back ability of these guys shoot a three with a hand in your face, going the opposite way on the wing. I mean, these are preposterous shots. But I also think it's just what you just said, the 40-foot three is going to be something that a lot of guys are going to be able to do. So yes. In my mind, you move the 3-point arc back, like you get rid of the corner three and you move it back about 5 feet and you have an arc coming from sideline to sideline. Does that make sense to you? Because it would open up some of the mid-range game and the elite shooters would be the elite shooters, but it would perhaps hurt, you know, bigs who, you know, aren't stepping out that far.
Yeah, well, you could argue the big is kind of gone now, right? I mean, what back to the basket guys are in the league besides Embiid? That's about it, right? And unless they win, there will be no copycats as well, you know, like win a championship. So, you know, that's an interesting take on a rule change, because now it's gotten to the point where, you know, if you can't face up, you might as well not even show up. You know, you have no chance to play. And that's not a bad thing, but also you're eliminating in a position from the sport, essentially. But the European game was doing this 10, 15 years ago, and they were telling us this is a better style to play. And I think we've kind of caught up. But the sideline to sideline three really is interesting defensively, because then you really, you know, there's no help from the corner and stuff like that. Obviously, you really pack the paint. So I don't know how would that work, but it's interesting.
Maybe they try it out in the G League. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see it look what it looks like. Adam, I'm a Chicago guy, so did you have any Jordan experiences in Charlotte? You were his first draft pick.
Yes, I've had a few. Some I can't say on air, I guess.
Come on. Time is a low. That's way back in the day now.
Yeah, his aura obviously is ridiculous. I mean, seeing The Last Dance was awesome just because I have personal experience with him. He gave one of the greatest chew out sessions I've ever been a part of after a game where we lost. So I tore my ACL my second year, so I'm out, and we were like three games back in the East with probably like 12 to go. And we were playing the Nets team with Kidd, Vince Carter, and Richard Jefferson, but it was at the end. So they were like sleepwalking, and they were the eighth seed, and they were like, everybody's trying to get out of there. You know, it's at the end of their run. And we gave up a backdoor layup or dunk at the buzzer. That was an easy switch to lose. So if we would have won, we'd have been two games or one game. So I'm in the bathroom and, you know, using the facilities, and our trainer comes in. He's like, everybody in the thing, Mike wants to talk to everybody. So we go in, and Mike went down the line and chewed everybody out and gave us the, I used to party all the time and still played hard. I played 82 games. It was like the situation, like you've seen Full Metal Jacket, the first 10 minutes where he's chewing everybody out and you're laughing, but also you feel bad for the guy. But the chew out is such a good in sync, and it just rolls off the tongue that you're trying not to laugh, but then you're waiting for your turn. That was kind of what it was like. But it was also like, hey, I just got chewed out by Michael Jordan. So I enjoyed it. It was interesting, the things he said. I can't say it on air, and I don't want to embarrass anybody.
Right, right. And you were hurt, so you didn't really get the sharp tongue?
Yeah, he was just like, you rehab hard enough? You know, we're going to say no because it's Mike. Just him being around. I mean, have you ever been around him in person?
I have, and it was –
it's wild, right? Just the aura, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, 24-year-old kid first starting out in the business, you know, hero growing up, and then I'm in the locker room, I'm going to ask this guy a question, heart's beating, you know, going crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he, everything you asked him, he would try to shoot it down. Hey, you guys had a blowout tonight. Was it good to get some rest? Nope, don't need it. I'm like, okay. everything. He didn't want to give up anything. Let me wrap. I know you got to get on out of here, but I can't leave without a Kobe question. You know, we all miss him, and I know you guys were good friends, and he took a special liking to you. I know he respected the way you came to work every single day. Any Kobe story that you could share that people would love to hear?
I mean, there's a few that are, you know, near and dear. Just, you know, I've told this one before. It's pretty good. So we used to kind of jab at him a little bit on the bus, just like he's a secondary motivation guy. I guess that makes sense. Like if you were like, hey man, you suck, he would just kind of like laugh at you. You know what I'm saying? So you had to be like, what we would do is we'd get the stat book. You know, they give them out of every game at the end of every game of the league. Right. So you'd go through and be like, oh man, do you see LeBron? He had like 30 and he got like 12 assists. You know, he could hear you because I used to sit a couple seats in front of him. And that was kind of our way to, like, you know, jab at him or get him motivated. And we had a debate one time where we were talking about who had the best left hand in the league. And he kept saying, it's mine. And we're like, dude, you can dribble left hand, but, like, you never shoot left hand. So, like, what do you – so we're talking about Powell. We're like, Powell has the best left hand in the league. So do you remember that year, the last year he broke his – the top of his pinky or his index finger, the top knuckle?
Yeah, he had to shoot – he had to learn to shoot a different way, right? He had to
shoot it with, you know, his middle finger. So during that game, he broke his finger, but he stayed in and he played the rest of the game left-handed. And so as he checks out, this is the fourth quarter. We had this argument like a month earlier. He sits down right next to me. He looks at me and he goes, you still think Powell is the best bleeping left hand in the league? Takes a drink of water and then just looks at me. And I'm like, this guy's nuts, man. Like, he remembered that argument. But that's how he got motivated by stuff like that. So, yeah, it was pretty funny. But that was a testament to how tough he was. Like, he didn't have to stay in that game. It was a meaningless regular season game. He stayed in it just to play left-handed and just to be like, hey, you guys were wrong. And yeah, so we all miss him, man. He was such a cool dude to be around, such a competitor. You know, the game missed him. And the things he did for girls basketball, you know, I coach my daughter's team. It makes me sad every time talking about it, to be honest. So
yeah,
we all miss him.
Yeah, and people just like to say, like, oh, you know, Adam should have had a better NBA career. I'm like, or whatever, like, does he regret? I'm like, dude, this guy had one of the greatest college careers of all time, like, took over the country. He played in the league. He won a couple of champs. He hung with Kobe. I don't feel sorry for you, Adam.
I don't feel sorry for myself either. But, yeah, no, you know, things could have been different in the league. It just didn't work out. I tore my ACL my second year. Didn't help. And then I get traded to the best team in the world. It was hard to get on the floor. So, yeah, I mean, I put that stuff to rest probably about a decade ago. But I appreciate the sentiment. And now I get to watch games for a living and call them and do funny interviews like this. It's good stuff.
Let's see if the Zags can do it.
Hopefully. Thank you. Thanks for having me.